You're listening to KDNK's public affairs program For Land's Sake. I'm Bill Kite, your host. Today we have Genevieve Villamizar with us. Genevieve is an ambassador for Artemis. There we go. I don't know why I have trouble with that word. And Artemis is a women's conservation program of the National Wildlife Federation. Welcome, Genevieve.
Hello, Bill. Thank you.
And actually, it should be welcome back. I think you've been on the show For Land's Sake more than anyone else, so it should get an award for that.
Those are the bennies of having a very dear friend that does a radio program.
Tell us about Artemis and how you became involved, because I don't think too many people know about it. So I'm hoping this is an opportunity to edumacate them, as I say.
I say the same thing. So Artemis is a project underneath the National Wildlife Federation. There were a lot of women pretty much like me who wanted to find a way to break into hunting or fishing and conservation, and they were not finding a way to do that, and so they finally realized, let's create this ourselves, because there wasn't anything out there that was bringing women together that enjoy all of these different nature-oriented outdoor pursuits.
Well, it seemed, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
When
ahead.
I started going down that rabbit hole, I found a woman who worked at Backbone Media here in Carbondale, which I kind of think of as the New Belgium of Fort Collins. Just one of those businesses that kind of drives the culture or represents the zeitgeist of the community. And Kara Armano was one of the original co-founders, and she now lives in Durango. So when I found out that she had left, I felt like, oh, I almost said an F word. I found out, darn, another dead end, you know, in this pursuit to find women to share all of the hunting and the fishing that I do. And then I just kept staying in touch and reaching out to people and being the busybody that you know me to be. And I finally met a young woman who lives in the Denver area who was an Artemis ambassador. And when she and I got to talking on Facebook Messenger, she was like, oh, man, they're starting to do the cohort for 2020. You need to reach out and apply to be an ambassador. And it wasn't just, you know, you apply and they're so happy to have you that they say yes. I mean, they fully vetted me. They asked me all of these different essay questions about my motivation and my experience and why this meant so much to me. They asked for references. They called my references. And I knew that it was going to be rigorous like that. So when they did announce that they wanted to use me as an ambassador, I was on cloud nine. So even though Kara Armano is in Durango, she no longer lives here, I still get to be a part of growing that whole community. And that's what I'm so excited about, is now I have something bigger than myself that I get to turn to for support to unite the women in these two valleys, the Roaring Fork watershed and the Middle Colorado watershed. And that's the way I look at regions, is through watersheds, not, you know, just governmental boundaries.
Right.
And we are going to have, frankly, a lot of freaking fun. We have to do quarterly events and show that we are bringing people together and show progress. And we also have the opportunity, with the support of the National Wildlife Federation and Artemis, to create all sorts of interim events. One of the things that I'm really excited for is to get four or five women fly fishing together, learning from each other, instead of always like the boyfriend, the brother, the father, the grandpa, the uncle, the mentor. That's a guy, by chance.
Right. Well, you know, in looking into this, it seems that the Artemis is about what really does sustain us as human beings, and that is that primal pull we feel when we are completely honest with ourselves and peel back all that romantic BS we think we know about the outdoors. Mm-hmm. Am I right on there?
And open yourself up to the wonder. When I first started hunting, because I didn't know anything, there's a big difference between reading about it and being out there and doing it, and that's a whole story into itself. But, sorry, I'm playing with a cat. I lost my thought. The primal pull.
Yes.
Help me out here.
The primal pull, yeah, that you feel
there is something about, so if I want to speak to people that are listening that don't hunt or fish, picture the first hour after you've been packing forever and preparing and planning for this amazing road trip, and picture that first hour where you're so driven by excitement and hope and what could be, and then eventually that excitement settles into a rhythm, and you find your mind wandering to the far or lost corners of your mind, and you remember who you are. And that is what hunting and fishing does for me. And it's a beautiful place to be. It's probably second to the whole Buddhist meditation practice. And I think that if more of us got in touch with that part of ourselves, society would be stronger, more generous, more loving, more kind, more connected. It'd be very different. These are the roots that human beings arose from. You know, this is what created community millennia ago.
Right.
So, yeah, it's powerful stuff.
Why bring Artemis to the Roaring Fork Valley?
Because there is no organization as active as Artemis aspires to be and as I aspire to be. Unfortunately, COVID is really changing that. We have a lot of badass women in this valley. And when I was younger, I felt like I used to be one of those women. I was super into trail running. I was super into climbing, did a lot of backpacking. But there was always something kind of almost like little kids playing house. I'm going to be meaningful and powerful and amazing because I'm going to send this 510, or I'm going to bike that trail, or I'm going to run 16 miles. But really, what does that do for yourself or your family or society? Hunting and fishing, number one, finance is a huge part of CPW, Colorado Parks and Wildlife. But also, it brings out a side of women that we don't always have permission to explore. You know, and hunting and fishing connects you to nature. You are not public land users, as recreationists are called, or recreators are called.
Right.
We're part of it. All of those labels that we apply to ourselves disappear, and you're just another species out in the wild engaging in all the ways that we see other animals do on those wonderful documentaries on Netflix and HBO and such. We play, we fight, we make love, we hang out, we sleep, we eat. I mean, how fundamental and primal are those activities? So I think a lot of women would love it.
All right. I hope.
And I'm finding that. I'm finding that when I talk about this with women, they get super excited, whether it's practicing archery or learning how to sight in their rifle themselves for the first time instead of depending on dad, boyfriend, husband. And I've taken women out fly fishing already, and there is nothing like watching that giddy joy of them connecting to our landscape in a way that has nothing to do with numbers or competition or scores or anything like that. You just get to be like all the other species.
Do you feel, I know you've already mentioned a couple of times about, you know, learning from your father or boyfriend. Do you feel mm-hmm. when young girls learn fishing and hunting from men that there's still that underlying masculinity, macho thing that we men tend to exhibit?
I think it depends on the men that you have in your life, and it'll vary from person to person. But, you know, I'm going to do a deep dive here, and it may make people turn off the radio, and I'm sorry.
Just as long as
there are no cuss words. If you look at the statistics, 1 in 4 people are touched by domestic violence. And men are going through they're hoeing a rough row right now in society. In my experience, because of my issues growing up, I have always surrounded myself with very macho, controlling men. And what I learned on my own that I tried to share with them all of a sudden turned into an exercise in control. Or for other people, they don't listen to you. They dismiss you, or they don't think that you're capable of tracking an elk or finding a deer or landing a fish. And the reality is that women are actually most often better than men at that because they're less ego-oriented and they're more into the process and into the moment and, frankly, into the emotions of it. And that is what is so exciting about sharing it with women. All of a sudden, all of the macho stuff that we see and all of the marketing and reading some of the stories, and all of a sudden it becomes this beautiful, gentle, open, feminine experience. And it's just so unique for us because if you think of most women, I mean, not most, but all women, we are born to create life. But when you look at the hunting process, for example, or if you choose to keep your fish and eat it, there's this really huge dynamic and societal stigma of taking the life of another sentient being. And when you do that with a macho man versus a woman who is often more vulnerable, more open, more humble, I have found that I feel like I get to dive more into the sacred aspects of these pursuits versus just that competition. And having been hunting for 20 years and fly fish guiding in Mongolia for five seasons, I think that I have a lot of background experience to base that on.
You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs program for Land's Sake. Today our guest is Genevieve Villamizar. Let's talk about that sacredness a little bit. You mentioned sacred, both the land and the hunt, getting that back to that simple yet profound reason why we're drawn to nature, the emotions, the joy of finding ourselves, like you'd mentioned earlier, finding yourself. How do you communicate that to women who you're trying to draw into the fold?
So for the most part, because of the stigma and because there's such a renaissance in hunting right now, I'm really focusing on the fishing or the breath work through archery. And when I hopefully am able to do the drive-in film fest in September, that's when we'll really tackle the hunting part. It's so challenging today to talk about something that people view as violent, like hunting, when I just gritted my teeth. It's a sensitive subject. So that's not the entry point that I want to focus on. But as a mother and a provider, and as you know, someone who loves to throw as many potlucks and parties and dinner gatherings and all of those things, it is huge to me that part of putting food on the table. And if you go down the rabbit hole of Google, you'll see that a lot of people dismiss putting food on the table as a significant part. But I call that affluenza. You know, that's an affluent person who can hop down to Whole Foods and chunk out $20 a pound for a clean piece of protein. But there's a whole part of society that is voiceless that can't do that. And for me, it's huge. If I get an elk, that's a few hundred pounds of beautiful, clean protein in my freezer for an animal that got to live out its natural life. Or if it's a deer, it's 50 to 70 pounds of beautiful, clean protein. And that's all something that I can share with other people. And the reason why sharing over meals and food is so important to me is because I feel like our society is so divisive and separative. And when you can bring together over food, when you can bring people together over food, there's a beautiful sensuality that unfolds and connects and unites us. And we don't have a lot of ways to do that in modern society anymore.
That's for sure. You know, I was taught the proper way to hunt was to ask the animal's spirit. And then once you animal gives itself to you, is drawn to you, then you, after you make the kill, you open its mouth and you put grass in there and you give a prayer of thanksgiving that this animal, you talk to it, that you've given your life to supply meat to other people, and that thank you for that. And you talk just like you're talking to a human being, and get that done, because it's very important to honor that sacredness of that animal and the life that you just took. And so there are ways to adhere to that belief that you have that land and the animals are sacred, and a way of giving thanks after the hunt. So there are ways to try to get people to understand that it is a sacred thing to take a life and to do it the right way, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And I think that honesty around saying to kill or to take a life is so very critical. We've become so removed from that part of being a species on the planet, where we do have the cycle of predator and prey. And the first time that I shot a large animal, obviously, because it was the first time and it had been a couple seasons and I'd worked so hard for it, I was ecstatic. And this is actually something that I write about in my article in the Soper Sun, Getting Grounded or Branching Out this week. When I shot my second animal, it was a cow elk, and she was really old, and I was so shocked at the array of emotions that happened around that. But that is the human experience, to have complicated, conflicting emotions. When I got her into position, rolled her on her back, and was starting to unzip her belly, that's the reality of the conversation, future hunters and existing hunters. When I started to do that, I could only see my dog, because one of his favorite positions was on his back and rolling in the grass and kicking his legs, or on the floor in my home and asking me to scratch his belly. So to see a creature like that, such a majestic and glorious creature that I had been studying for so long and willing the universe to put in front of me, you do a lot of bargaining with God when you're a beginning hunter. I actually felt sorrow, and honestly, I felt shame, because I was so aware of being the all-powerful and privileged human being. But at the same time, the elk that I take in the field, think of all the CAFO hogs and lambs and cattle and chicken that are raised in horrendous situations. And that cow had a glorious life, better than a lot of human beings on the planet. And when I got her, I cried and I bowed down in reverence and I put my right hand on her and I felt her warmth and I thanked her for everything that she had accomplished in her life and achieved in her life to be so glorious. And I thanked her for putting food on my table. I'm not a very wealthy person at all. And food in my freezer and in my cabinet is priceless to me. To me, that is abundance in the real world, which is what nature is to me.
So what do you plan, what's your next steps here to do with Artemis and
with growing Artemis?
Right.
I'm reaching out and staying connected to all of my current friends and women that I've met in the Valley on Facebook, because they're more accomplished than I am. I am working with CPW, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and Backcountry Hunters and Anglers to create a sighting in workshop. Typically, when you go to sight in, it's a little intimidating because you're pulling up to a shooting range and there's all these guys everywhere. And women tend to, you know, we become diminished in the presence when we're the minority in the presence of a bunch of men. That's just the reality of it, unless you're already an accomplished badass. So we're working on putting together a sighting in workshop where women and girls, frankly, because I know girls that started hunting when they were 11, and you can't even get a license till you're 12. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But we'll learn how to sight in our own rifles, and we'll do it in the safety and presence of other women and girls. I'm working with the Roaring Fork Valley Sports, they should call it Sporting Association instead of Sportsman's Association, and I love the guy that's the president of the club right now because I believe he'd be open to it. But we're looking at putting together a weekly standing marksmanship evening at the Basalt Shooting Range where we'll do trap and skeet and just have a lot of fun shooting and get really familiar with our guns so that it becomes second nature like your toothbrush or your computer mouse. You know, it's just an extension of your body. And when you operate it, you succeed. And that's a beautiful thing. Flow state. And then the bigger thing that I'm working on is the film fest. I have the film shorts lined up. I have the major festival lined up. And I just need to find a venue because the National Wildlife Federation will only let groups of 10 gather. And I want to see 30 women gather. Or, you know, 20 women and 5 girls and 5 guys that support it. And I want to open up the world of what all of this is to other people and give them a new channel in their personal lives to just experience the sublime on a seasonal, regular basis.
Sounds like you might have to wait till after this pandemic is over for more than 10 people, huh?
Well, the drive-in, if you look at the drive-in that we did for 5 Point several years ago in Carbondale at the 3rd Street Center. Uh-huh. There's the drive-in series that's happening at Crown Mountain Park, and there's also a drive-in series that's happening in Snowmass. So somewhere is a really cool person that wants to work with me on this. Hint, hint, Regna. Regna.
So it sounds like that you found something that really you were kind of waiting for to come along.
For me, hunting and fishing go hand in hand with horticulture and landscape. We are not complete humans when we do not engage at a deep and meaningful level with the planet. So you nailed it. It's very meaningful, and I'm so thrilled to be a part of this. It is such an honor and privilege.
So what's next in your life, Genevieve, besides Artemis? our last minute.
You know, I always have a million pokers in the fire and a lot of projects, and it's too many to list, and some of it might not happen, and it might happen, so
all right.
We'll see.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Genevieve. It's been a pleasure, as usual.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to KDNK. Our next For Land's Sake show is September 8th at 4:30. Until then, whatever you do to Mother Nature, do it for land's sake.